Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Face First Medical Aesthetics on the second floor above Gabo's on Dewdney Avenue. Ask in store about birthday Botox and your discount there for your birthday or for the guys. Botox. Yeah, you look after your body, guys, in the gym, but how about your face? Turn back the clock in a natural-looking way with Face First Medical Aesthetics. By Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. Get in the real estate game with the three-time Grey Cup champion by calling 306-502-5355. By Riviera Ag Seeds in Radville, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified Durham yellow peas and chickpeas. By Mark Greshner Photography, check out his awesome work at markgreshner.com. Trust him with your important life moments. Pizza Hut's in Saskatchewan, thanks to David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies. Yes, make sure you support local. Now more than ever, it's important. They say if we have another shutdown, 1 in 7 businesses in this country won't be back. Now, I've lived in Regina most of my life, and one thing I hear all the time is, there's never anything to do in Regina. Well, let me tell you, if we're dumb enough to shut it down again, then we better not bitch about, there's never anything to do in Regina. There's no good or different shops to go to. Now, I'm not saying that we should dismiss COVID. My son had it, still recovering from it, can't smell anything, can't taste anything. One of my buddies had it early on, he's fully recovered. My dad almost died last week because of a heart issue that caused him to get 2 more stents, giving him 9. They kicked him out of the hospital in 2 days because of COVID precautions, and I absolutely get it. But I asked him, are you worried about getting COVID and dying? He said, son, if I die, COVID kicked me off the cliff, but that's not why I died. I've got more plastic in me than a hardware store. Be smart, but live your life, kid, because you only get one. So, I'm going to listen to my dad. Yes, I'll wear a mask because I'm told it'll work. Although, to me, the jury's still out on that one. But it doesn't hurt anything. It's not hurting me. It fogs my glasses, I guess, but I can live with that. I'm going to wash my hands like I've always done. I'll social distance with my coworkers and those who may be compromised, but you can damn well bet I'm going to hug my kid when he comes back from the States. I'll do all of this because I'm told to, but don't you dare shut down the economy. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And remember, this Christmas, shop local. And if you don't like what I said, so be it. Pack a lunch and stand in line. All right, pleased to be joined here in Growing the Game with Ballsy by Superman G-Roy Simon. G-Roy, we were supposed to be playing the Grey Cup here at our new stadium in Regina this weekend. We know what happened, of course, with COVID-19 and putting a damper on the 2020 season. But that doesn't stop us from thinking about 2013 when Superman was worth all the money in the world. That Sunday, he got his first 2 Grey Cup touchdowns. Tell me about that day. Did you know when you got up that day it would be a special day for you?
You know what? I wasn't sure that I was going to have, I was going to have a big impact on the game. Looking back throughout the season, I wasn't a focal point in the offense. I had my moments where I had success, but I had a good feeling that we were going to win the game. I just wasn't sure, that I would have the opportunity to score a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, looking back on it, though, in the regular season, Hamilton was the team that you had the most production against. So if we were looking at the stats going in, we'd probably say, hey, he would be a good bet to do something this game.
Yeah, true. If you look at it from that standpoint, I did have a couple pretty good games against Hamilton. And, that's why I really felt good going into the game. I really felt good that we were going to win the game, which was most important. But obviously to have an opportunity to score 2 touchdowns was definitely icing on the cake.
You know what I liked about the one touchdown, the very first touchdown? It seemed to settle things down for the football team. You know, you're all pumped up. You're playing on your home turf. Darian fumbled a couple of times. First time, the Tiger Cats couldn't get to it. Second time, it pops up on the air, or in the air, rather. Corey Sheets takes it for a long run, and you capped off that drive with a nice veteran route. You kind of bent it to the outside. I think you got Rico Murray biting on the outside, and then you just took it up into the end zone with that slick kind of seam route.
Yeah, you know, that was something that we had planned for them going into the week. In the first couple games, I scored a touchdown, and when we played in Guelph on a corner route, and we knew that when I would go through that corner route that they were going to jump on it hard. So it was just one of those things where I had to set it up, and you know, with me being, you know, a veteran player and knowing how to work releases and things like that, it was a perfect setup for that route to the corner post.
Hey, how did it feel to have a G-Roy's corner, whatever they called it? The fans really embraced you. You were public enemy number one with guys like Nick Lewis when you were a visitor, but you come back here and I think put a nice bow on the end of your career there.
Yeah, you know, it was a mutual respect thing. You know, all the years of playing against the Riders and you know, having the heated battles that we had throughout the years, to go, and then having the opportunity to come and wear the green and white, it was something that that I really wanted to experience. And when I got the opportunity, I took full advantage of it. And I was 1,000% in. The fans embrace me just like I embrace them.
Yeah, you know, you're all in. That's the kind of guy you are. You're now at your alma mater at Maryland University. Just tell me about that and what you're doing down there.
Well, I'm just coming down here to help out. I mean, I couldn't golf anymore in Vancouver. I couldn't, you know, hang out with friends anymore. So it gave me a chance to come down here. My buddy's the head coach here. I asked him if I could come down, and he said I could do it. I'm here on a volunteer basis on my own dime, and I'm just down here helping out where I can. And then it also gives me a chance to, you know, still see players. I see, you know, all the players I want. I watch all the film I want. I have access to every school in the country. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. For your next step in your professional development, i.e. becoming a GM, I guess you make invaluable contacts too when you just take, you know, when you do it on your own dime and you kind of broaden your vision, as it were, of the game of football.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like you know, for me, I'm 1,000% in, and you know, I'm gonna help the Lions, you know, the best way I can. And for me, that's getting down here and seeing as many games as possible. Like I said, I watch film basically from 8 a.m. to about 10 at night. So I'm seeing a ton of players. I'm making contacts all across North America because we have a ton of guys here that aren't on staff that are helping out. And it's kind of the same thing where, you know, you make contacts. You make one contact, you make 10. So that's kind of what I'm doing, and just, you know, making the best of a bad situation.
A couple of years ago, I think you were quoted as saying maybe you weren't ready to be a general manager. Do you feel you're ready now? And have you made that known to the powers that be in BC?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they know my intentions. They know what I ultimately want to do. I mean, I'm not sure what their plan is, but they know that where I want to go. And obviously, there's steps that need to be taken to do so. I don't know that I need to, you know, brag or boast about it, but I've talked to Rick and our president and let them know that, you know, that's what I want to do. But, you know, I'm not sure of their plan, but, you know, for me, I'm going to keep working towards my goal, and I don't think anybody's going to stop me from doing that.
G-Roy,
Go ahead. Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say whether it's next week or next year or 5 years, I'm still going to work towards my goal.
Yeah, you've always been like that for sure. Why do you think you'd make a good GM? Why do you think you'd be a good GM at this time?
Well, I think that, you know, for me, I think that, you know, I'm doing the legwork now that you need to learn. You need to learn the ropes of scouting. You need to learn the business of the organization. And that's something that, you know, is still a learning process for me. And I don't think I'll ever stop learning. And, you know, I think I know how to put together a team. I've been in the huddle. I understand what it feels like to know when you have good players, a good team, a good chemistry. And it's just one of those things where it's a feel thing, and you know, you're never really ready until you get the opportunity. And I think once I get my opportunity, I'll be prepared and ready to rock and roll.
Who's taught you to be a good executive? Who have you kind of looked up to? You know, when you played, you probably had a couple of guys you looked up to and brought you along. Who have you kind of emulated yourself after in the game of football from an executive side of things?
In the end, it's you know, I don't really emulate anybody because, you know, I have my own personality. I have my own way of thinking. But, you know, I talk to Wally quite often. I talk to Brendan Taman. I talk to him probably on a weekly basis. I talk to other guys in the NFL who are GMs now. And you know, for me, what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, Wally Buono, the way he built teams over the years is the way that I always grew up knowing how football is supposed to be. You know, you find your players, you develop your players, and then they turn into that's how you establish a great team. And that's what I learned growing up watching the Pittsburgh Steelers all these years. Mm-hmm. I'm friends with Mike Tomlin, and you know, that's how it's done in Pittsburgh. So it's just one of those things where, you know, I don't say a whole lot. I sit back, I observe, I watch, and I listen. I take a ton of notes. If anybody ever sees me, they always see me with a notebook. So, and I'm constantly writing. So, it's just one of those things where, you know, you just quietly prepare, and then when you get your opportunity, you know, you take full advantage of it.
I like Tomlin. He's got a steady hand, whether it's up or down, whether things are going good or not good. Like, I got a feeling they're 9-0, but he's looking at ways to say, hey, we're not 9-0. Like, we could have lost here. We could have lost there. I mean, he had Le'Veon Bell with a contract issue. It's like, okay, we'll see you later. He had Antonio Brown kind of rock the boat. Okay, see you later. Those aren't two guys you just – well, you'd expect those are two guys you can't replace just like that, but Mike Tomlin has done a great job there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know, the whole organization, it's such a great organization. It's run the right way. I mean, you know, they find good people, they keep good people, and they let good people grow in the organization, and then that trickles down from the top. And I think that's the way an organization should be run. And you know, I think the Lions we've done a great job over the years that I've been there. Obviously, we've run into some tough times over the last couple of years, but. I think we're going to be moving forward, and I think we're going to do a great job.
Tell me two more quick questions for you, G-Roy. Tell me about the David Braley you knew.
Well, Mr. Braley was a great man. I mean, he was a great man for the CFL. He was a great man for the, you know, for the BC Lions. You know, he's a guy that really took care of the league. He cared about the league. He cared about the people that worked for him. And you know, you can see that in all the things that he did. You know, behind the scenes, he never wanted any credit for all the things that he took care of. And you know, even in his passing, he's still taking care of an organization that he so dearly loved and cherished. So you know, Mr. Brady was a great man. He, you know, he was a guy that I got a chance to know, over the years, obviously playing for him and then working for him, the past 5-6 years. And, you know, he's just a guy that really cared about the CFL and the BC Lions.
You are an American, but you seem to really care about the CFL. Obviously, you're employed by the CFL, but you seem to really have a genuine love for the Canadian Football League. You know, let's just talk about that lastly. Your thoughts on the league going forward. How concerned are you about the future of this league?
Well, I think the, you know, in taking this time off, I think, you know, the powers that be are putting together a plan to come back in 2021 and really be successful. And obviously, that's going to take some time. You know, you got to get the partnership with the players. You got to get things in line to that when we come back, it's going to be a bigger and better league. I think you know, this is such a great game. And it means so much to many, many people in this country, and as well as Americans who you know, when you first come to Canada, you're not quite sure what you're going to get, but you feel the love, you feel how important it is to people in this country, in our country, and you know, it's a game that you know gave a lot of people a great opportunity to continue their careers, including me. And I'm forever indebted to the CFL. I'm forever going to be a fan of the CFL. And as an employee, I'm going to work my butt off to continue to grow the game and help our league to thrive and grow to an international power that it is and that it will continue to be.
Okay, lastly, G-Roy, I'll squeeze one more in here. What do you, in your role right now as it sits with the Lions and looking at players, what do you think your team needs to improve on? Pick one area that you think you need to get better at.
Well, I think we got to score more points. In the end, the game is about scoring points. I think we have a great quarterback. We have a great receiver. We have to balance the field. And I think, in getting another receiver that can help out Brian Burns, he can take the load off. I know Lamar Durant is a top-notch Canadian, but you also have to have another guy that can help balance the field, that can take some of that pressure off of Brian, and also it'll help in the running game and helping control the line of scrimmage. So I think it's not really one thing. It's one thing that can turn into a number of things. One thing that Wally would always say is, we always have to balance the field. When I was there, and we brought in Arlen Bruce, he helped balance the field, and you saw the team take off from there. So that's something I believe in. I think you have to have, you can't just have one star. You got to have a number of guys that can carry the load and help you. Help you to win games in a number of different ways.
Well, I hope the Lions do the smart thing and hire you as the GM, but if not, I know you'll find your way. You won't be denied because you never have been denied. Thanks for this, Superman.
For sure, man. Appreciate it.
Time now for the Pick 6, brought to you by Sasolex Football, building the gridiron stars of tomorrow today. And I'm talking to potentially one of the current stars of tomorrow today. That'd be my son Ethan Ball from North Dakota. How's the coronavirus COVID-19 recovery going? People ask me all the time how you're doing. I know how you're doing because we talk all the time, but why don't you tell them?
I'm doing well. My health is good. I'm feeling great. We just finished up camp here. Got through it pretty healthy. The only thing I don't have back yet is my smell came back a little bit. My taste is still pretty much gone, but health-wise, I'm feeling good. So other than that, everything's going good down here.
Do you get used to not being able to taste anything?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't tasted anything since September 2nd. So, like, everybody's like, oh, how do you do it? How do you do it? After about, like, 2 weeks, a week and a half, I was used to it. So just trying to eat healthy, and it's not really eating for enjoyment anymore. It's more so just health-wise and getting bigger and stronger. So I'm used to it. It's not a big deal anymore.
Can you keep on weight?
Yeah, I lost weight when I was in quarantine. I think it was just because I was in a hotel and not eating very good food there when I had COVID. But now I'm back up to my normal weight, gained a little bit of weight. So everything's been going good that way.
A lot of people in your age bracket and stuff, even a little bit older, they're like, oh my God, COVID, I'm going to die. I'm scared. What kind of advice would you give to people? Now, it's not the same for everybody. We get it. But what kind of advice would you give to people?
I wouldn't freak out about it too much. I'm more on that side of the fence. I mean, I've had it. I've seen pretty much my whole football team have it. If you're a young guy, young girl, and you're somewhat healthy and you stay in shape, like, you're going to be fine. I would say you're going to experience probably cold-like, flu-like symptoms for 3 or 4 days and feel kind of crappy, but you're going to bounce back. If you're an athlete, you'll notice your lungs are a little bit tight and sore for about a week, and then you're pretty much back to normal. I understand it's not the same for everybody. But I don't think there's anything to be freaking out about or worry about.
Yeah, because I saw some girl in your class post something, and she was, like, almost curling up in the fetal position that it was the end of the world.
Yeah, like, I see people freaking out like that, too. And I get we got to protect the vulnerable, but the funny thing about the vulnerable is, like, I've talked to all my grandparents, and they're like, I'd rather go see my grandkids and go out and live my life. I've been here for 75-plus years, like, It's the flu. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die. Like, I'd rather live my life and not sit in my house and be curled up and depressed for a year. So I don't know. Everybody has their own opinion on it. That's my opinion on it. I don't think you got to be too worried about it. It's a flu that has a 99% survival rate. So I don't know. I wouldn't be too worried.
So your smell hasn't, or taste hasn't come back yet. You could smell your foot. Like, when did you realize your smell came back?
It was the second last day at camp, and I came back in the locker room after practice, and I took my gloves off, and I was like, holy shit, what is that smell? And it was my gloves. So it was back to being normal, being able to smell my crappy hands and my cleats after football practice.
Probably never smelled so good, though.
That's right, yeah. I was kind of shocked, so it was actually a good feeling.
Are you worried that you're not going to get your taste back?
I've talked to trainers and doctors and stuff, and they said, I mean, it's different for everybody. I think I've got the short end of the stick. I haven't heard anybody of losing it this long on the team or anything. But they're all optimistic that, like, I guess it's been, what, 3-4 months now. They're optimistic that, like, 4 or 5 months should be the max. So I don't know. My taste, my smell coming back, sorry, was kind of a positive sign. So I'm not too worried about it. I don't like to dwell on it too much. I don't think about it. So
let's reiterate before we get haters listening to this podcast saying the ballsy guys are idiots and they say don't worry about COVID. What you're saying is you can't taste anything, haven't been able to for 3 months, and you're like, all your friends are kind of like worried about it, but you're the guy that's had it. You can't taste, but you're like, just chill. Just don't panic too much.
Well, I mean, I've been down here, so maybe my perspective has changed because I've been around it. But honestly, I think it's helped me because I'm not as scared of it. When I was back home and we didn't have any cases, or we had one or two in Regina, everybody was freaking out. So I was like, oh, this thing must be like terrible. But then I got down here and I saw everybody getting it, and everybody was like sick for a couple days and getting over it. And like, they just had cold like symptoms. It changed my perspective on things. So when I see Saskatchewan shutting down again, it's shocking to me. I'm not against masking or anything, but the way people are overreacting to it is a little ridiculous to me, in my opinion. I know people are going to hate on that, but that's my honest opinion, being around it for the last 6 months of my life.
Okay, buddy, let's get to some football picks now. People will hate on you maybe for these too, but pick six. We're going to pick six games. We'll call it it's pick six with Ballsy, but we'll call it Ballers because it's two of us doing it. So here we go.
I like it.
New Orleans against the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons they've got a good offense, but they've been brutal this year. But New Orleans is going to go with Taysom Hill as their quarterback, they're saying.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with the Falcons in this one. I think they're going to pull it out without Drew Brees in the game. I don't have a lot of confidence in the Saints this year, so I'm going to go with the Falcons.
You're going with the Falcons?
I am. I'm taking the bold pick for that one.
Okay. Our Chargers against the Jets. Jets are running out of teams to beat. Will the Jets finally win this week, or will Justin Bieber, who's quarterbacking the Chargers? Now, do you see that haircut? That is terrible. He went from some of the best locks in the league to a Justin Bieber haircut. So are we going Chargers or Jets?
Well, I am a little bit worried that Herbert lost his swag here with that haircut. But, I mean, God, I hope the Chargers win. I don't have confidence in them, but I'm going to take the Chargers in this one.
Well, if anybody can lose to the Jets, it's our Chargers.
For sure.
Ravens against the Titans. Ravens got smacked around in the rain by the Patriots, and the Titans have kind of lost a couple of games here in a row. They got smoked on home turf by the Colts. Who do you got in this one, Ravens or Titans?
That's a tight one, I think. I think the Ravens are going to bounce back, and Lamar is going to have a big game just because he hasn't been spectacular this year. So I'm going to take the Ravens in that one.
Is Lamar Jackson overrated?
Yes, he is. I've told everybody that from day one, and everybody gets on my case about it, but I think he is.
Okay, Packers and the Colts. Our old man, Phillip Rivers, has an offensive line that can block going against the Packers who – I mean, they're good. They got Aaron Rodgers. I usually take the better quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback, but I think the Colts are going to win this game.
Yeah, I predicted Aaron Rodgers is going to be MVP of the league after they drafted Jordan Love, and he's balled out this year. But I got to take old man Rivers and the Colts the way they're playing right now, trying to secure that AFC South. So I'm going to take the Colts in that one.
And they've got a good defense, best in the league, to be honest with you.
That's right.
Okay, speaking of good defenses, the Rams play the Buccaneers. I believe that's Monday Night Football. Rams play the Buccaneers. Bucks haven't been good in primetime games. In fact, they're practicing at night to try to get used to it, which, whatever. Who are you going with there?
I'm gonna take the Bucks. I don't have a lot of faith in the Rams. I don't really like the Rams, to be honest with you, and Jared Goff. I don't like Tom Brady either, but I think Brady's going to win that one in prime time, so I'm taking the Bucs.
I'm going to go with the Rams. I'm going against you. I think New Orleans is going to find a way to win. I'm going Chargers like you, but they'll find a way to lose if they can. I think Ravens will win. I do think that the Colts are going to win like we agreed on. But I'm going to go Rams. I'm going to go Jalen Ramsey, shuts down Mike Evans, and then they get to Brady because the Buccaneers' O-line's terrible. And the last
I could see that.
And the last pick, the Chiefs against the Raiders. Now, the Chiefs, their only loss comes to the Raiders. There's been a lot of talk this week about after the Raiders won, their bus driver did a victorious lap around the stadium. So the Chiefs are a little pissed about that. Andy Reid is 18-3 coming off bye weeks. I think the Chiefs are going to smoke the Raiders.
Oh, there's no way the Raiders beat the Chiefs two times this season. The Raiders are going to get blown out by, like, I think it could be a 20-point bomb on them this week. They're going to lose by at least 17-20, so it's going to be the Chiefs.
Well, and their defense is already on most of their defense is on COVID, the COVID list.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous. So I think the Chiefs are going to win pretty easily in that one.
So that's your upset of the week, the Falcons over New Orleans.
It is. That's my bold pick of the week, Falcons over New Orleans.
How about, there's one more I thought could be an upset. Oh, it just was on my mind. Oh, Cleveland against Philadelphia. Do you think Philly can beat Cleveland? Cleveland doesn't have Myles Garrett because he's out with COVID. So, I don't know. I think Philly could upset. That could be an upset special.
I mean, Philly could. I don't have a lot of confidence in either of those teams, and I don't think the NFC East should even have a playoff team because that division is an absolute joke and a farce. But no, I'd take the dog pound in that one. Yeah. I mean, I hope Baker Mayfield could pull that one out, but we'll see, I guess.
Okay, and Brett Jones of the Rams, U of R Rams, gets the start for the Dallas Cowboys against the Minnesota Vikings as they're having some injury problems on the O-line. So Brett Jones has surfaced with Dallas. He'll play there. By the way, do you think Minnesota was dead? Now they're 4-5. They played Dallas, Carolina, and Jacksonville in a row. They could be 7-5 before they play your buddy Tom Brady there in the Buccaneers.
Well, I know. Everybody down here is a Vikings fan for the most part. My roommate, my position coach, everybody. So they're all excited. They think they can make the playoffs. We'll see. I don't have a lot of faith in Kirk Cousins in big games. So it'll be interesting to see how it shapes up. But they definitely do have a pretty easy schedule here, and they're rolling. So if you give the ball to Dalvin Cook, they should be okay.
Lastly, what's the best thing about playing down there?
Oh, I think it's just a different perspective on football. I've kind of got to play like two different games now and start to learn two different types of football, which is kind of awesome. And then just learning a new position, it's kind of changed my perspective on the whole defensive side of the ball and how intricate it is. Usually when you're a receiver, you kind of chirp DBs, and when a guy gets burnt, you're like, what the hell is he doing? But when you kind of switch positions, you see how much harder it is on the other side, too, and you earn respect for those guys. So that's been the most interesting part, I think.
That's awesome, man. Okay, good. I can't wait to see you. And we're not going to leave any room for Jesus when you come home. I'm giving you a big hug.
Oh, yeah. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Okay, see you, buddy. Take care.
See you. Have a good one.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.